Welcome to the Hardware Asylum podcast coverage of Computex 2024 part 2. In this episode, we're going to be looking at some enterprise grade rack mountable servers, a desktop version, and some really small memory. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today I have Darren McCain.
Welcome back to Hardware Asylum for our second edition, the sequel, if you will, to the 2024 Computex coverage.
The sequel.
The sequel. Yeah. So we're going to start off with, I guess, day two, right?
Well, day two, day one, we're just going to be talking about vendors, really.
All right. Well, so we're going to finish, I guess, the rest of the coverage, we hope, in this episode, day two, day three, and everything that we've missed so far. So where do you want to start?
How about Team Group?
Excellent.
So Team Group, this is a memory company, very similar to G-Skill, very similar to ADATA, very similar to not Micron. but they offer memory solutions for desktops and enterprise servers and stuff. Also storage. And they had a couple of heat sinks on display, which was pretty cool. And a lot of it had an AI focus.
I see that they're branding themselves with T-Create, which is interesting.
T-Create, that's the AI stuff. T-Force is storage. And then, of course, Team Group is just the name. But we had the T-Create AI memory. And these modules were available in black and white.
Okay.
They had some vents across the top, which made them kind of look, well, it was perforated. It was actually pretty cool.
So this is DDR5, but I got to be honest with you, I don't know what would make DDR5 different for AI than regular DDR5.
I want to say that the difference here is that we don't necessarily need to have really, really super fast memory for AI workloads because most of the data processing is happening on the GPU.
Okay.
But we need to have high capacity modules.
Okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense because we're going to be caching an amazing amount of data.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I get it.
So we have the T-Create Expert. These are the black DDR5 modules. And the frequency is between 6,000 and 7,600.
Now that's pretty quick.
It's actually really super fast. And we have the kit capacities from 32 gigabyte all the way up to 96 gigabytes.
Ooh, nice. Now I'd like to have 96 gigs of memory, but I just can't find a reason to justify. Someday.
Yeah.
Okay, so now backing back up again to what's the difference. Is this just branding? Could I buy this memory and stick it in my standard desktop?
Yes, you could.
Okay, good to know. Good
to know. I mean, it's just DDR5. It's just that what we have is kind of an AI land rush. So we have specially designed modules for AI. In this case, they don't have RGB. The heat spreaders are really low profile. They have a couple of venting holes on there. But the idea is that they're compact and
pretty
standard.
But if I wanted to be part of that AI revolution, I could have AI expert memory in my desktop PC.
Yes, you could. And you could have up to 96 gigabytes of it. I believe even larger kits.
That sure is a lot. All right,
now,
I get it.
Now, the other memory that was being shown just about from everybody was CAMM2.
So that's CAMM2, but I'm not sure I know what that's for.
It is a new memory form factor designed specifically for ultra-thin laptops.
Oh, okay.
But we have the AI series for the CAMM2. So it's the T-Create AI Expert DDR5 modules. And these are the CAMM2 modules. They're just really small, really flat, and they have heat spreaders.
So I'm looking at these, and I know I have my glasses on, but where does it plug in? Which is it, the long edge?
Oh, well, okay, this is an interesting thing. We're looking at the top profile.
Okay.
So think of it as like an M.2 drive. It's a little card.
Okay.
Now, the M.2 connects on the edge, so you have an edge connector. These are on the bottom, so it's a lot like a CPU. So we have a bunch of pins underneath, and then that is what interfaces with the board or the laptop or whatever. And then there's these holes. There's three holes here. One on the outside, one in the middle, and one on the left. That is what secures the memory module down, making sure that it makes good contact with the pins and remains low profile.
So basically, memory is kind of going into a socket format instead of a slot format.
Yes.
Interesting. Oh, I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, and what I'm not seeing, and I never asked a lot of people about this, but most desktops are dual channel memory.
Right.
Right. So you have two memory modules, and then that goes into the memory controller and gives you more bandwidth. With CAM2, I don't see where there's, unless it's built in, where they're inherently dual channel modules.
Right.
Most of the implementations of this has only been one CAM2 interface.
Well, I guess when you think about the popular laptops that are out there, most of them have a single
That's just one
memory kit in, and although a lot of them will allow you to upgrade, that's kind of the standard. So I don't love it, but I get it.
Yeah. Speed-wise, they're basically the same as the UDIMMs, you know, the normal memory right. modules. This is a picture here of some T-Create modules that are in black, which black on black, it's kind of cool. These are the AI masters, not the experts. And if we go through, here's some M.2 PCI Express 5.0 drives. There was a lot of PCI Express 5 NVMe drives on display, which was, you know, it's just fast.
Well, yeah, they're coming. And the new USB also. I think we saw some of those too. We kind of, maybe we'll get back to them.
Yes, maybe. Let's see. They had also some M.2 coolers for PCI Express 5.0 because the rumor is they get really super hot.
Those are big heat sinks.
Yeah, we have one that's water cooled. We have one that's got some massive heat pipes. We have one that has some heat pipes with a fan integrated in it. Some of them just are the radiator. It's I don't know.
But look at that. The WF01, the water cooled one. This is like screaming, I'm an enthusiast. Look at that. A self-contained water-cooled M.2 SSD heatsink.
Yeah.
I think I might need one of those. I don't know if it has RGB, but...
Oh, I think it does. That's what this little light shield at the top is.
So this is maybe what we've come to as enthusiasts for this show, at least, is bolt-ons, right? Because,
yeah.
I mean, essentially, this is what the car generation went through. First, everything was custom. Then it started to get to be bolt-on. And maybe we're in that transition here when you can just plug in and plug and play a Waterflow M.2 heatsink.
Now, when I see something like this, like the WF01 from Team Group here, I am reminded of what Coolit used to be doing back in the day when they had these self-contained water coolers, but then they had Peltiers in them.
Oh, yes. The early Coolit systems, the Exterminator.
Yes. I see something like this, and I'm like, where's the Peltier? Because... obviously, if you're going to have water in there, you need to have a reason to have water.
Well, so. I think it's pretty sexy. I got to find a good reason to put that. But I can see a challenge with the current socket, right? Because you don't have, when you do a standard SSD install, you don't have a lot of structural integrity, right?
No, not so much.
And that looks kind of heavy. So it'd be interesting to see how they solve that problem.
Not moving your computer, maybe.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
Or flat, like we just talked about with those cases, right?
Yeah. Lay it on a test bench or have it on a test bench. Don't even put it in a case.
There you go.
Let's see. We had also some extreme memory. Now, I took a picture of these. These are their desktop modules. And the heat spreaders are big. But they have this nice little branding on the side with the Team Group.
I like the fancy logo, and the colors are pretty pink and white. It's nice.
The diamond rose. And then I think they had white and black as well.
Oh, yeah, so, you got to have black, but it's not so exciting.
Yeah. And then, but basically it was nothing special, really. It was DDR5, 6400 to 7600. So using the same chips as in the AI expert modules. And then kit capacity, 16 gigabytes up to 96 gigabytes.
Wow.
And then, of course, we had the RGB additions. Now, I really liked these.
It seems like it's a larger RGB area.
The diffuser is huge, and it has the team the T-Force logo and then the Extreme off to the side. But the edges of it are this clear plastic that have these black lines in it that you can see from certain edges. So it really gives it kind of like a hollow box feel when you're looking at it. And I think it's just a creative way to handle the RGB lights.
Now, I'm reminded because of the size of some of the early, like the Corsair Dominators, for example, that were so popular, but they were oversized so much so that some of them had those air cooling kits, right, that you could latch on the top. But remember then the heat sinks for your CPUs got so big that you had to check the height of your modules, remember, to see if they would fit?
Uh-huh.
I wonder if that'll be the case with these as well.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, a lot of people that buy tall modules like this, they're running an AIO, so we don't have that clearance problem to begin with.
That's a good point.
So next, how about we talk about Cougar?
Okay, now Cougar's not a name I'm very familiar with.
Now, I want to say, and this is probably incorrect because, you know, this I'm going off of an old memory here. Cougar was always a UK brand, or at least it seemed like a UK brand. And maybe it's because they're always sold in the UK.
But
they were selling cases, power supplies, coolers, stuff like that. It was kind of like an accessory company. Well, they still do all the accessories, but what they had on display was furniture.
Okay. So furniture. Okay. Now it makes more sense.
Yeah.
So gaming chairs, essentially.
Yeah. Gaming chairs. So they had a series of recliners and, like a poof style chair. But the idea was that you had comfortable gaming chairs that had pockets and they would recline. I'm showing you a picture now of just kind of a standard chair. It was really super comfortable. But it also would, it was one of those that you could push recline. It didn't have a handle. It just kind of pushed back.
I know that we've maybe misled folks. So you'll have to check out the pictures because when we say gaming chair, I think people have an image of what that looks like. And that is not what we're looking at in these pictures because these look a lot more like traditional recliners are, maybe more of a Spartan style. I mean, it's no Lazy Boy, but that's definitely a full chair.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it even have the I don't know. This is what the one I'm showing you now it would spin around, kind of like a standard desktop chair, but it would also rock back and forth. It was a rocking chair, so to speak. But they had standard recliners here that would recline all the way back. You had pockets in the side to put your magazines or Playboys or whatever you want to have there.
Right.
And then...
Oh my gosh, you've just made me think they look like airline chairs a lot.
Oh, well, maybe.
Because they have the solid sides to them, right?
Oh, yeah. Like in first class.
Yeah. First class airline chairs. Exactly.
Wow.
And especially the one that you're showing now. Now, this is the one, guys. It is beautiful and it reclines almost to full flat. You could sleep in this thing.
Yeah. And I had pushed myself all the way back and I'm like, wow, yeah, I could fall asleep here. They were cloth. They had kind of a velour texture on some of them. And then they had a pleather, which was fake leather, you know.
Oh, Cougar, if you're out there, I might need to try one of those chairs because that looks like something I could spend a whole day in easily at working and playing.
Yeah. I asked them if they would send out samples. So we have also standard cloth chairs like the Aeron chair that from Herman Miller that I like so much. They have the standard racing style gaming chair, which is what we would normally think. And then various other designs. Of the same thing.
Those look like the plush office chairs. They've got a pretty impressive line.
Yeah, it's not terrible. Let's see. We go to G-Skill.
Right.
So G-Skill has an amazing show at Computex. They have the overclocking competition where they have an online qualifier. And if you qualify, you get flown out to compete live at the G-Skill booth for up to like $10,000 US.
Wow.
And it's obviously just memory-based overclocking with liquid nitrogen and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. But around the booth, they had some of their products and display and also an entire line of case mods.
Oh, wow.
So we had a case here that was automatic LN2 overclocking.
Automatic LN2. Oh, it's got like a giant, what is that? Like a funnel going on, right?
Well, yeah, that's where the LN2 off gas is off there. But inside you can see the frozen lines going to, you know, chill the CPU. It's kind of a variation of what Kingpin did several years ago, where he had his auto overclocking cooling machine, where it had like a series of valves that would go and disperse liquid nitrogen, and it was all sealed, which was kind of cool. This is just kind of the same thing, except that the system is sealed, so I think that it's filled with nitrogen to keep a lot of the water from condensating on everything. But they had this, and then they also had a couple of other case concepts on display. This is one with some dinosaurs.
Nice.
It was kind of neat. It's just a case modding competition that was, you know, here's the winners.
Yeah, but that's super cool because I feel like case modding's kind of taken a back seat with this latest generation of hardware. So it's nice to see G-Skill embracing some of the creativity that's out there.
Exactly. And we had, this was a coffee maker. And then we also had this was, he get beer out of this one on the side here, but it had some water cooling components added to it, which I'm hoping they didn't get mixed up, but.
Oh, nice. Well, see, now our vodka water cooling solution maybe has a practical application.
Yes, we need to make that a reality. G-Skill was also one of the only vendors that had booth babes.
Oh, man. That is such a relic of a bygone year, but it just is something that I'm so used to. It's kind of almost strange now.
It is, and I was a little disappointed, and there was a good reason for the lack of booth babes, and it's because in previous years, you would have all these booth girls, and they were just models, but then they would let their photographers know that they were going to be there, so then the photographers would get badges and then come around carrying around all of this gear and all their entourage, and basically setting up to go and take pictures of the girls who were supposed to be working to promote the booth.
Right.
And all of that was causing undue traffic, getting people to come around. And they were muscling in because they were the creepy guys just taking pictures of stuff. And they would actually interfere with booth operations. So I think that they outlawed one, and then the girls didn't want to be part of it and stuff like that.
I guess I see that because it's not promotional, and the world's kind of moved away from that train of thought.
Yeah, it's really sad because it was one of the reasons that I went. So we also have some G-Skill memory on display.
Yeah, we do love their memory.
And but there literally wasn't anything super special. It's all stuff that we've seen before. It's just the DDR5 editions of it. We have the Cam2 modules here, which you get to see naked. So you get to see all of the pins and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's how they push in then. Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
The one display that they had was talking about how faster memory can increase your AI workloads. But of course, you need to.
Makes sense, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's just basically overclocking. And since it's just moving data around, but it also relied on the fact that you had your AI workload on your CPU.
Well, I see this as another one of those cases where your AI system is only going to be as fast as its slowest component, which is kind of the way computing is just in general, but at least they called it out.
Exactly. Okay, we have MSI. MSI was an amazing stop for me.
Excellent.
They had a lot of stuff on display, so we're going to kind of go through really quick.
Well, longtime listeners know that I'm a huge MSI fan. They're probably my favorite manufacturer because you get so much for your money.
Yeah, I would agree. So here, this motherboard that we have on display, one of the few companies that actually displayed real mainstream motherboards, which was, you know, MSI. We have the MAG X870 Tomahawk Wi-Fi. It's an AMD Ryzen-based board, and it's in black. Mid-range, good stuff.
Well, I like the new logoing they have on there, too. So that's new and kind of exciting.
The one item that was hot at the MSI booth was the Project Zero PC.
Okay.
Now, Project Zero is kind of the Project Stealth of MSI. So that's the one that has the connections on the back.
Right.
They took it a step further and added a Cam2 module to the Project Zero board.
Oh, okay. So you've got a memory module that's stuck onto their board.
Yeah, the Cam2 ones that we saw before from Team Group, for instance.
Okay.
They also went through and say, hey, so what else can we do with this Cam2 module? So they have a water block from BitsPower.
Nice.
So here's the Project Zero motherboard. I'll try to put a picture in the show notes down below. So come out to hardwareasylum.com and check it out.
Right.
But basically, this is, a pretty flat motherboard.
Very similar to the one we talked about in our previous episode.
Yeah, from Gigabyte. Now, the one thing that you will see that is not there is the memory sockets.
Oh, yeah. Glad you've called that out because I totally just didn't even notice. I'm so used to seeing them.
Yeah. So off to the side, there's this metal plate covering up the Cam2 module. And one of the next pictures is right here. Shows where the Cam2 module would be. And on the back, we have our reinforcement backplate for the CPU. And then we also have a backplate for the module, the memory module. And then this is also showing the sockets on the back for the power and SATA and everything to hook up to the front panel controls. And here is the Cam2 module. So you can see there are four screws that hold it in place. Actually, five screws. There's one in the middle. That holds the module flat against the socket, much like in the way that the CPU is hooked up. And then we just have that heatsink that goes on top of it to keep everything cool and also to clean up the solder blobs where our 24 pin and CPU power is going to be.
Wow. So they have taken a route where if you don't want a traditional memory socket, you can use these new CAM modules. I think that's kind of clever. I wonder if it will catch on.
I'm thinking no, just because it's a desktop PC. And this CAM2 modules is mostly for like ultra portables and stuff like that. But the question is that a lot of people are asking is like, well, what about overclocking? Can we overclock more on the CAM2 module than on a regular desktop module?
Right.
Otherwise, aside from, you know, adding a fancy cooler to it or maybe an OLED screen or something like that, it doesn't really serve a purpose. But if we go with maybe smaller form factor motherboards where space is a real factor, right, then this might actually make a difference.
Well, and I can see it going even one step further. Why not mount that entire module on the back of the board?
Exactly. So we have a lot of options on the table now that we have smaller memory modules that we actually can use. So right now it's in a very traditional location. Maybe it will change in the future.
Interesting.
Of course, MSI had a lot of other products on display. We have some fancy fans. We also have some AIO, some power supplies. They're doing power supplies now, okay. 1600 watts, mostly for high-end builds and also AI workloads. We also had a, this is interesting, it is the M.2 Expander Aero. And basically, this is a add-on card that allowed you to hot swap NVMe drives.
Oh, wow. So that's kind of like the old Enterprise or your, what is that? NAS. Oh, it's like a NAS drive with a hot swappable drives.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I have yet to kill an M.2 drive, knock on wood, but having the ability to hot swap it out the back of your PC, I guess that kind of makes sense.
Well, it's kind of slick, although I honestly would prefer you could do it up front because of the way most modern PCs are. I could see that that would give you a really great portable storage solution if you had multiple PCs or devices that used it.
Oh, yeah. So it could be like the new USB that is now much, much faster. So anyhow, that was one of the devices. When I first saw this, I thought it was a video card because it has a nice big cooling fan on the side. It has a two-slot configuration. So, you know, video card. But it was for removable NVMe drives. Pretty awesome. And of course, MSI also had laptops and video cards. One of the fanciest video cards there was a self-contained AIO. So you remember at CES, they had the MSI Expert Series video card?
Yeah.
And that was the one that was, the frame was made out of magnesium or something like that.
Yeah, super fancy.
Super fancy. Well, they've taken that concept and now integrated an AIO into it.
So I'm glad you have pictures because I was trying to concept what this would look like, and it looks like it's a four slot video card at first glance, maybe?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's a monster video card just like it always has been. But what we have, instead of a big heat pipe array, we have a pump block that sits over top of the GPU that runs its hoses around the outside into a radiator that passes through because, you know, the cards aren't full length anymore. Right. So now we have this radiator where there would be a fan that would normally pass through air. So we have a fan going through a radiator.
Wow. I'm intrigued with the concept, although I'm not sure how useful it is. That's probably crazy expensive, but it's super cool.
Well, and this is just one iteration. They have another iteration that gets even crazier, where they have a much larger radiator solution where it's dual radiators.
Wow.
That sits on top of a frame that has the pump block and then some fins to keep the memory cool, that then sits inside the computer and is now a proper four-slot cooling solution.
Holy cow, look at that thing. That just screams business.
Yeah, so we basically have a radiator that takes up three slots in your chassis, well, maybe two and a half slots, and then we have a half a slot for the AIO and the heatsink that attaches to the PCB and then the PCB that slides in.
I appreciate that they've got a big old adjustable bracket to hold that in place because it looks heavy. But that, man, if I saw that in somebody's PC, it would immediately get my attention. That is huge.
Yeah, and this is really just a prototype, so I think it's going to get a little bit more refined as they start to tweak the design a bit. But that was kind of the evolution of the AIO GPU thing, because normally you would have the radiator attached to the outside of the chassis, which is kind of smart, and now it's all a self-contained unit.
See, if you combine that with that SSD cooler, right, you got all kinds of plug-and-play cooling.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what they should be doing. It's just like creating one big module that has like all of the cooling. So you basically just pipe in your CPU into the radiator, pipe your GPU into the radiator, and then you have a couple slots for your NVMEs. Takes up 8 slots. Basically just slides in.
Well, there you go. Some quick connectors, a little fish tank pipe. You might be onto something.
Yeah, there we go. MSI, I want to kick back. let's see. Silverstone?
Yeah, let's talk about Silverstone.
All right, next vendor, Silverstone. We love Silverstone. I like to see what they have all the time because they are one of the few manufacturers out there that actually issues original chassis designs. But really, the highlight of the booth was the Enterprise Chassis Solutions.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize they were making Enterprise chassis.
Well, the one that I liked the most was this workstation. And I'm going to call it Enterprise because this is not your standard gaming chassis. So basically what they have here is a 4U server. And that's just enough space to put in, what is it, like 4 drives stacked together?
Right.
So what they did is they took a 4U chassis, rotated it 90 degrees, added some feet. So now it is a workstation chassis that's a bit longer than your normal case that will hold AI hardware.
So you can have sort of the same idea as a server blade, mm-hmm. but you don't have to have it in a full rack system.
Right. Yeah. It's basically an unrackable rack mount computer.
Unrackable. It's broken free.
It has. So the front part of this case is storage. So you can put in all of your drives and stuff like that behind this door. Inside, you have space for a radiator that separates the drive section from the motherboard and video card section. Behind that, we have a workstation class, well, AI class motherboard. This is an ASRock, I think it's the Epic edition. But basically, we have a couple of really big fans cooling the VRM to keep everything chill. And then Silverstone has created an AIO to keep the CPU cool. And in the back, we have some massive 45-millimeter thick 80-millimeter fans.
Now, there's some more Enterprise hardware right there.
And yeah, and then the power supply is also dual hot swappable.
What?
Yeah, so it has these modules in there that if one of them fails, you can have your 100% uptime by just pulling out the module and putting a new one in.
I can definitely see the appeal for a workstation if you were, say, a graphic designer or something that requires an awful lot of horsepower.
Well, what they described this as was pretty much the private AI clouds. So you could have one of these machines running in your tech closet or your data center at your office or whatever. And you could have your AI just running on this machine. It doesn't actually have to be part of the main enterprise rack.
Wow, I'm going to have to get used to AI class.
Oh, yes. That is a very common thing at Computex this year. So here's that 800-watt hot swappable power supply. And this little tab at the bottom, if you flip that up, you can pull the power supply out, slide in a new blade, and away you go. So the one that was probably the most impressive was the 8 GPU server chassis. And this is a 5U chassis, and it supports 8 GPUs. So inside, we have all this special hardware that basically allows you to hook up all your GPUs into each one of these individual slots. We have this cable that goes back to the motherboard, the backplane. We have massive cooling in the back and spots down in the bottom for power supplies, I believe. And up top, we have a couple of racks here for GPUs. So we have 6 GPUs back here on the backplane and then 2 in the front over top of where the motherboard would be.
That's impressive.
And the way Silverstone sells these is that you get basically the chassis, all of the internal wiring, and all you have to do is plug in your GPUs and your motherboard.
So again, back to plug and play. I like it.
Yeah. And this is something that Silverstone has been putting a lot of effort into because there's a lot of demand for off-the-shelf server racks like this. And I think with Silverstone, we're going to have to cut it again for time. So tune in for part three. For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2024. Thanks for listening.